Are you trying to find the perfect distribution platform to get your music on Spotify and Apple? I personally use and love DistroKid. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/DistroKid to get a small discount and get access to a platform with unlimited uploads for a yearly fee. Happy uploading and enjoy the show.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Bowel Movement Lou.
I thought you were gonna say something along the lines of Laxative Lou.
Oh, there you go, Laxative Lou. Let it loose, Lou.
Butt loose, Lou.
Yeah. Just letting it loose, man. Lou was off mic before we started recording. Was telling me how he was on a murder streak with his farts yesterday.
My fiance was not having it at all. It was, anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. You don't need this info, but it's like,
I appreciate
it's such
a good fart story. I appreciate, dude. A lot of my stories that I have that I tell the dinner table is surprisingly a lot surrounded by naked people and poop. So anyway,
like the naked biker,
dude. A fart is just foreplay for poop. That's all it is. Oh, shit. It's just poop foreplay. It's
like,
it's
just want to give you a little taste.
Hopefully not a taste. It smells so bad you can taste it. That shit is the worst. Shit is the worst.
That just reminds me. I still have to buy the studio bidet. I never thought I'd be like a huge bidet believer. Because like I grew up in America where bidets aren't really that common.
See, I'm Japanese, dude. Yeah, I gotta get that bidet, dude.
Yeah, and it's just funny because now, like, anytime I poop anywhere else, I'm just like, damn, they don't have a bidet,
dude.
What am I gonna do? Just smear it on my cheeks with paper?
Yeah, dude, bidet's great.
I had to scratch it off.
Anyway, let's get into the topic now. Welcome to this is the Mixing Music Podcast, not the BM Podcast. So we're gonna mix up your bowels. All right. We're gonna talk about an interesting topic. I'm sure everybody, you've already seen the title. We're gonna talk about some plugins that we've been using on every single mix this episode. And I've been experimenting and trying some things out, and I want to recommend a few and talk about how we've been using them and talk about some oldies but goodies as well. We're talking about this. Dave Pensado does this all the time, and I think it's really inspiring. Like, Dave Pensado's always trying out new plugins, mm-hmm. and, like, his ability to explore, like, I feel like we all get, like, habits, you know, we kind of get set in our ways, which is not a bad thing, actually. It's really great for efficiency. It's cool if you know, people want to try out new plugins, want to test things out, want to expand and see what's going on. And here's some plugins that I think sound great. Segue. Okay. Right. It's slot number one. Yeah.
Ooh, that reminds me. I did have an idea for us to do. But yeah, let's hear number one.
Yeah, number one. I'm demoing this. I haven't bought it yet. It's actually a plugin.
How dare you not purchase it?
Yeah, I haven't, because first off, it's friggin' expensive. And the demo is 40 days.
So actually, that's an impressive amount of time.
Yeah.
Did they by any chance say business days? Like, 40 seems like such
a
specific...
You're not allowed to use it on the weekends?
Right? It's like, but I have to do a revision on Saturday. Buy it, bitch.
Yeah, dude. That's funny. That's a good way to do a demo. It's only available on the weekdays. Anyway, this is a company called Pulsar Modular. Really great company. Mm-hmm. They were initially became, got in the limelight for making their P42. It's like that plug-in in the beginning phase, V1. It was literally just a picture of a transformer, and you can drive the transformer. Yeah. But the one that I want to talk about today is their P11 Abyss compressor. It's really fancy. It's $350, and it's pretty expensive. And it's really dope, actually. I'm not really blown away by compressors often. And this one's really versatile. It's got clipping in it. You can mod transformers, and like you can mod different things in it. Well, a little bit.
I do know you like your modularity.
Yeah, and it's got like THC built into it. Like it's got like different.
You can get high off of it.
Oh, hold on. Wait THD. A second. THD is what I'm thinking. Not THC.
I was about to say like
thanks
this.
Thanks for calling me out, Lou. That no would have been embarrassing. You love it. Dude, I don't even smoke, bro. I'm the most sober person anybody's ever met. Let's see. It's got like different settings for boosting EQ into the side chain as well as into the out signal. You can change the order of the signal chain. It's got clipping built in. I already said that. It's got a gain reduction limit. It's just look at it. Look it up. It's really great, actually. And in the demo, I was very surprised. At first, I was like, this sucks. And then I tweaked with it. And it's a really tweaky compressor. It's not one of those that you like set and forget. It's one of those that if you tweak, it's you can get it to sound really good. It's like a nerd's paradise, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's not. It's definitely overcomplicated for like your casual. If you're asking for vocal preset plugins or like vocal chains, this is not your compressor for you. This is a compressor for those real nerds that know what they're doing, and it sounds phenomenal, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've been messing with it. I've only used it on a couple mixes, but like it's impressive enough that I'm putting it number one on my list.
Nice.
It's really good. I was really impressed. Number two on the list, if I can go directly into that, unless you want to talk about the P11.
No, I don't know anything about it.
It looks cool, dude. It looks cool. The interface of it looks as dope as well. Look at that. It's got like a light mode and a dark mode. It's got threshold ratio. It's got like this. This is different here.
It kind of reminds me of the Waste stuff.
Yeah, it's
Weiss.
Yeah, Weiss. Yeah, it's got like, dude, and it's super flexible. So it's got the attack and release times. You can get it as fast to be like as fast as like an 1176. So it goes into like microseconds. It's great, and it also like goes really slow. Like saturation with different like A, B, different types of saturation there. It's really great, actually. And this doesn't show it on this picture that we're looking at right now, but it also has like this pressure thing too, where it's like you can make the compressor smoother. I don't know, something about some algorithm.
Like,
I guess
it's pumpability.
Yeah, and it's got like this really great, it's low latency. It doesn't take up a lot of DSP. It's actually, I don't know, it's just really great. Anyway, we're going to go into the next one, which I think is really underrated. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Kilohertz?
Yeah.
Kilohertz is great, man. Kilohertz, they have a couple. They have a couple plugins that you can buy and pay for. But they also have like a pack of like 30 plugins, which is free. So for all y'all free people that want them free plugins, there's 30 modular effects plugins that are totally for free, and you got to download them all at once. And it's great marketing because like every time you load it up, you have to say, no, I don't want the new ones.
Yeah.
I don't want the paid ones. So it's like, damn, like maybe I should just buy it just so it stops popping up. But it's great.
I've done that before, but for like an iPhone app.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. It's a really simple interface. It's really easy. But let me just read all 30 of what they have. They got the 3-band EQ, bit crush, channel mixer, chorus, comb filter, compressor, delay, distortion, dual delay, dynamics, ensemble, filter, flanger, formant filter, frequency shifter, gain, gate, Haas, ladder filter, limiter, nonlinear filter, phase distortion, phaser, pitch shifter, resonance, resonator, reverb, reverser, ring mod, stereos, tape stop, trance gate, transient shaper, all for free.
That's good.
It's crazy. And again, the interfaces are really, really simple. It's really easy to use. The fact that they're free is phenomenal. I've been using a lot of that transient shaper, actually.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't split up the frequencies like you can, like Neutron or Ozone. But, dude, the transient shaper is great. They have anything that you could ever need. The nonlinear filter, bro, they have limiters. the ladder filter. They have shit that I don't even know what it does. It's crazy, man. I'm not going to lie to you. What the hell is Ensemble? I can guess that it's probably some sort of like modulator where it makes it sound like choir, like Ed Terrace Choir or something like that, or like a vocal doubler type thing. I have no idea what a channel mixer is. It looks like, just from the picture, it's kind of like your mid-side and switching left and right, like some panning thing. Dude, yeah, it's got a lot of different things. And you know what? They all sound great, actually. So, formant filter, dude. That's what a crazy, crazy set of tools. Just like utility as well, like the gain thing. It's like it obviously does one thing, but... just utility of is great. They look great. They feel great. They sound great. They're really reliable.
I'm not going to lie. I think the utility ones are the ones that sell me the most on it, just because there's plugins like the HLF3C from UA, which is such a great, for the most part, faithful recreation of the Poltech.
It's literally just a high and low pass.
Yeah. The downside is there's no makeup gain, which is the most annoying thing in the fucking world. They put all these new features on shit that didn't have those features in the real unit, but they couldn't give me makeup gain on something that literally filters out frequencies. That's all it does. There's no boosting to it. Give me the makeup gain. I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love Kilohertz. I'd recommend you check them out. And they've got like a few of, it looks like their actual, like they've got like a 31 band graphic EQ. They've got like a bunch of other things, but honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's the free stuff that's getting it for me. It's really cool. I really like it, actually. And their regular paid stuff is not that expensive. They do have like a subscription as well. So they got like a you pay for distortion. Oh, that's cool. That one you have to pay for. But
The Faturator.
We're looking at this website right now. Anyway, really cool company. Really great. We're going to see them in M as well. They're really great people. We're going to number three. This is one of my favorite. This is something I've been using every single mix. And at first it was really exciting, but now it's less exciting, but I still use it every mix. It's replaced my FabFilter 3 for most 9 out of 10. 10 times, dude. I still use FabFilter Pro Q3 sometimes, but I've been using the Kirchhoff EQ, which is now available if you have a Plugin Alliance subscription. It's now part of Plugin Alliance. The Kirchhoff EQ, it's got everything, almost everything that FabFilter Pro Q3 does, except it's got a couple things that I want to point out. Is it's got analog emulated bands and filters. Mm-hmm. So, for example, it's got like a Neve filter type mid-range boost or low-end boost. This is a company called Three Body Tech, but it's now through Plugin Alliance. So it's got a bunch of different unique filters. It's got unique oversampling as well and some filters as well, phasing as well, mix phase. They've got a few different things as far as to deal with distortion as well, and harmonic shifted envelope for dynamic EQ. So it's just like a really nerdy one. It's still kind of like cheap made, but it's not as cool looking as clean as the Pro Q3 as far as like visually goes. But my favorite part about it is that you can build and customize your own themes. You can change the colors of everything. And bro, I have a JoJo Bizarre Adventure theme that I've built into it. I have Gundam theme. Actually, I don't have a Gundam theme. I have a Neon Genesis Evangelion theme on it. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of different JoJo anime themes on it. I have a Dragon Ball theme on it. I've made a bunch of different themes on it. You can put a picture in the background. You can change the color of the meters, dog. I'm getting excited. You can tell from the tone of my voice. That's what I'm getting the most excited about. There's a couple things that are a little bit annoying with it. For example, like the great thing about the FabFilter Pro Q3 is when you turn a band into a dynamic mode, it's automatic. Mm-hmm. Where the Kirchhoff doesn't have an automatic thing. You have to manually set the attack and release time and the threshold each time, which is like nice, but at the same time, like from a speed perspective, it's slower.
It's a little bit slow. Yeah.
It's slower. It's got look ahead as well. It's got like 112-bit oversampling. This is crazy, dude. It's crazy, man. And yeah, it doesn't do like the EQ match as well that I know the FabFilter 3 does. And it doesn't have the cross-referencing for
For other instances?
Yeah. You know how it like shows you the other instances and what's like the frequencies that are muddying each other up?
Yeah.
The competing frequencies doesn't have that. But I mean, it's great, dude. And oh man, you can see pictures of my JoJo theme. I'm so proud of my JoJo theme. It looks so good, dude. I know you've seen it too. It's so visually pleasing. But I like this one a lot. Again, it's got like Poltech, Mog, SSL, Neve, even Baxendall, like the dangerous Baxendall EQ curves all built into it. It's just the curves. I don't know if it's the harmonics. It's just the curves. But it sounds really great. It's really reliable. It's pretty low CPU.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of been replacing my FabFilter Pro Q3. It's got it does everything slightly better, minus the couple things that it doesn't do, which is the EQ match, which you don't really need it for.
To be honest, I used it once, never used it again.
Yeah, I like every once in a while I come back to it. I'm like, let me try it. And then I regret it every time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not amazing.
It's not amazing. You know, and dude, this didn't make the list, but like talking about EQs, bro, you know what's really underrated? Vocal EQ.
Mom?
Your mom. Yeah. Vocal EQ.
Oh, actually, that was going to be part of my list.
That one's really underrated. Yeah. People aren't talking about that enough.
Oh, no, I use it all the time. I use it more than I use Pro
Q3. But I mean, like, YouTube, the people on YouTube and other, like, influencers, they're just not talking about Anteris Vocal EQ that much. And I think it's
because it's a brand that's not known for, like, compression and EQ. And because of that, it's like, this is freshman year. But with the freshman year, I'd say that was a knockout plugin.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
It's got that airband lift in it, which is its own separate band. It's got the surfer EQ tune, like you can, it changes the frequency based on the tuning of the vocal, and you can change it to like the second harmonic to the third harmonic. So it's like a constantly moving EQ band. And you can also make it dynamic. I don't know if surfer EQ does that actually.
No. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't
turn
it into
there's a way to do it, but it's not very good.
Yeah, there's So straight up, I think that's like one of the most underrated EQs is the vocal EQ. It's crazy. It's really great.
Yeah, not only that, but the amount of bands it gives you to work with, pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Really impressive. And I love the aesthetic that Anteris is kind of going into recently.
Yeah.
The next one on my list is God Particle.
Mm-hmm.
Which it sounds like you had some pretty negative experience on, which is okay. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about it.
So for me, I don't like Masterbus plugins that are designed to say, I don't like the marketing of it. It's the greatest plugin ever. It's the only thing you need.
It's
on
a one knob type thing.
It's a one knob.
You don't really know what's going on. It's a mystery box.
No, I mean, you kind of know what's going on, but it's one of those that I believe is in the same lane as a CLA plugin.
Yeah,
I look at it as equal as the CLA plugins, which I know is a good and a bad thing because
it's just not our target demo. Like, we're not the demographic for that plugin.
I'm definitely personally not, you know, because my experience with it is this. You either start with it on your mix or you don't put it on at all, because the saturation, though it sounds good, changes a lot of the mix. And its default settings are what he claims to be what he does. But when you hear his interviews, he always says, that's what I start with. I just throw it on the master bus. So even he acknowledges the need to just throw it on from the start. It's fixed thresholds for like its frequency locations on the indicators and everything. They talk about doing these updates where like there'll be different profiles, but no ability to actually manually change it yourself. Like if you wanted to hit your own targets.
Yeah, I think the point of that is to like make it easier and accessible to those that don't know what they're doing as much.
Totally. But then in order for certain functions of the plugin to actually hit, you have to hit those thresholds. So the downside is that you're not necessarily not getting the full use of the plugin, but unless you use it intentionally for that plugin, then the plugin doesn't really fully do what it's supposed to do.
Interesting.
You know, supposedly. But for me, a lot of my work on the master bus tends to be kind of like gentle strokes, while this one has a pretty heavy hand. I'm not a super fan of heavy-handed moves on the master bus.
Yeah. So this is interesting. This is on my list, and I actually have some some issues with it. And number one is the lack of flexibility. So like you said, the fixed threshold on the multiband section is like not cool. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
And then the limiter on it just sucks. I just leave it off. I used it once and I was like so bad that I just turned it off.
Yeah.
I have to turn down the input and level match the output. And I am, it is unfortunate that like the clip in it, what I can hear is the main middle knob, what it's doing is clipping, it's widening, and it's saturating a little bit. And those things, it's cool. It's kind of got this mid-range bump thing going on. Like, it's boosting the mid-range a little bit, giving more presence in the mid-range, which I think it sounds great, especially for these hip-hop tracks, these R&B tracks, where you're kind of mixing it to be a little scooped, and then you come in with, like, rebalancing out the mid-range and making the mid-range present again. I think that's okay. But there's a lack of control, which upsets me.
Okay.
There's a lack of control that, so I feel exactly what you're going through right now, what you're talking about. That being said, for what it is, for the amount that you cannot control the specifics of what's going on underneath
the
hood. Sometimes it sucks. It's just flat out just like the worst possible thing that you can put on your mix bus.
Yeah.
But there are times where I try it on sometimes. A lot recently I've been trying it on most songs just to see how it affects it. And I feel like I've tried it on dozens and dozens of mixes now, enough where like I kind of get the vibe of like what it works well on, what it doesn't.
Yeah.
And there, when it does work well, it does work well.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I think that's why I'm a big believer that, like, you know, Joshua had actually said, you know, hey, you know, that's the first thing I put on my master bus. Like, if you mix into it, I don't doubt that it can do something really special. I think it's just like, if it's an afterthought, it usually doesn't bode well.
Yeah. I like, and that's how I use it, is as an afterthought.
Yeah.
Which is like really like, and I will admit that it doesn't work every single time.
Like, have I ever told you how I tune, and this would have been one of the plugins I bring up later, but like the tape machine plugins. Like, so you know how on plugins like the Studer 800 from UA, you actually have like the tuning mechanism, like the biasing and everything. If you were to actually like tune the plugin with like pink noise, you'd actually see that like standard off, it's doing a low mid dip, it's doing a low bump, and it's doing a top end bump. But if you were to flatten it out and you listen to it on your mix bus, you would still actually hear a good depth change, but it wouldn't necessarily super change your tonality. But there would be certain changes where like, oh, okay, I see. It changed a little bit, but it didn't change a lot. It just, the way it saturates accentuates certain ranges. And I like plugins that do stuff like that. The downside is that like, because there's not a lot of flexibility in the God Particle, I wish I could fine tune a little more to where like the saturation fits a little wider.
Yeah. That plugin, you know, is definitely marketed to like producers who just want like one plugin fits all for loudness or whatever.
Yeah.
I do think that like I use it like the widening in it as well as the mid-range bump that it kind of does. Those are my favorite things about it. Anyway, let's go into the next one. This is a free plugin, actually. Acoustica has a free version of the Choral Tilt, and I've been using that one a lot recently. Yeah. I find myself using it a lot. Not just for the top end, but like I'll use the backside all EQ, and I'll go to like whatever the frequencies are. I think it's like 1.6. I think at the top end, it's got like a 1.6, 1.8, or 2.1 kilohertz. And I'll start there and I'll boost the frequencies from there just to kind of like boost the mid range as well as the top end. I've been doing that for vocals a lot or for different instruments. And this is similar. So that's totally free. The Choral Baxter is free from Acoustica Audio, which is a great company. They've got like a little preamp thing going on. Some sort of, it does change the tone just a little bit. It's got like a built in. What am I called? Harmonic saturator or something going on where it's kind of going through something. Anyway, it sounds great. It's really useful. It's a classic Baxendall EQ. I mean, it's Acoustica. It sounds great. I use this on mastering. You can use it on mixing. I've been using it on mixing recently more just because of that 1.6, 1.8. The reason why I like it is because also, you know, Mixland with Jesse, he has the Tilt EQ, and the Tilt EQ has a high shelf from 1K.
Yeah.
And that's the one I use the most. Is I love that 1K high shelf boost. I'll unsplit. I'll like cut off the split and connect. Well, turn off the connection between The link between the low filter and the high filter. Mm-hmm. And I'll just like boost 1K on like various different buses and vocals or things like that. Things that need not just top end, but also some mid range as well. Yeah. Dude, it's fantastic. And I've been using the Coral as well for the same exact thing. It's great.
Yeah. Actually, I use the Coral a lot more for the low end.
You've been using it for the low end.
Yeah. Cool. Reason being is like, you know how it is, trying to project on small speakers, laptops, things of that nature. It's not always about that sub content, and sometimes just having a way of filtering it up would actually help a lot. So, you know, I'm a big fan of the Voice of God and using that, which has that taper effect. But in this case, because it's actually just a cut and a shelf, it sounds similar, but it's just different. It doesn't saturate it as much. It doesn't have that like same thickness. It's cleaner.
So it's like the combination of the high pass filter as well as the low end shelf. Mm-hmm. Sounds really good, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it makes it tighter than like what the Voice of God would have done.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. So on this Coral Baxter, it's got high pass filter, low shelf, high shelf, and then low pass filter. Mm-hmm. So it's got cut. So, and the cut starts from 70 kilohertz, which is crazy. It's also got that preamp button. So I think something's going on, but it sounds really, really great. And I can't believe it's free for how good it sounds. I actually like the sound of this more than the paid Dangerous version from UAD.
To be honest, I'm in the same boat.
And this is free, dude. It's crazy to me. Yeah.
I will say this, the Dangerous one uses less CPU. So anytime I'm in like a heavy mix
less,
or anything, I can't pull out the Coral as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I'm in the Master Bus, I mean, Coral all day.
Oh, dude, it's so good, man.
Yeah.
And this is like part of a bundle called the Coral Bundle, which has a bunch of other things. I think it's also like the emulated SPL iron compressors built into it as well. So a lot of cool things, but that's free. And the Mixland Tilt, which is another one, which has built-in saturation, is also phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It's super phenomenal. It just doesn't have a high-pass, low-pass filter into it, but it's great. The Tilt from Mixland is great. The last thing that I want to talk about, and this is not specific to this plugin necessarily or this company, I want to keep it to like the general category of this plugin. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts about this, but I'm going to start with the specific one is the Corey Wong archetype from Neural DSP.
Yeah.
The guitar sim.
Yeah.
Dude, specifically the Corey Wong one from Neural DSP. Neural DSP sounds amazing, mm-hmm. but specifically the Corey Wong one sounds freaking fantastic. Fantastic, dude.
Yeah.
He sounds great. How do you feel about amp sims?
I'm a believer and a disbeliever. It's kind of funny because like both me and you play guitar. I don't play as much as I used to, but the one thing that I do remember is that, you know, if you're planning on using an amp sim, it's probably better to track with an amp sim so that you get the playability of it, right? Because outside of that, now you're dialing in a recreation of your tone later. Now, from the point of view of like a mixing engineer, we'll find something that works and fits for our best needs for the record, right? But I've always been a huge disbeliever because it just doesn't feel the same as like the reaction type of an actual amp. So from my sense, it's a performance thing. It's not a tone thing because tone-wise, I've heard a lot of good amp sims. I've heard a lot of really good sounding ones, but depending on your setup and how you're able to run through that amp sim, like you might just have that little bit of latency that just kind of throws you off if you're doing like,
oh, it's gotten so good too.
Yeah. They've gotten really good to the point where like, you see people like, the guitarist from Bring Me the Horizon. I think they're actually supposed to be working
with
them.
And they have
like
hardware stuff too now. Yeah. I think Neural DSP specifically has our hardware stuff. I mean, the Helix is popular from Line 6.
Me, it definitely has to be that,
the Kaiser, the amps.
What is it? The Kemper profiler. The Kemper profiler for me has always been really impressive.
That's like the
I've
standard,
actually really
right?
enjoyed it. Yeah. That's and like anytime you're doing like tours, you see Line 6 and Kemper pop up the most. You don't see Bias amps pop up as much, even though they do have their own amps. And you could load up everything from an iPad and control it, blah, blah, blah. That's all good. But Neural DSP plugin wise, like they're actually really good. And one
Dude,
of the hardest
fantastic.
Things to recreate is distortion.
Oh, like, yeah. And they have the hardware too. They have the quad cortex.
Yeah.
So you can actually download these archetypes and like upload it into the pedal, which yep. like emulates not just the amp, but the microphones,
the
and
pedaling,
the cab.
And everything. Yeah.
And I have a bunch of friends. I've had like even, you know, Gavin, bro, like mm-hmm. he was the type of person that would like, I only touch boutique amps. You know, like he's one of those.
Yeah.
Like total gear snob, tone snob.
He would
snob.
Love my two rock.
And he like sold it.
Nice.
He sold it for these amp sims, dude. And the reason why I bring this up is because from a mixing perspective, if every time I get guitars, instead of me just going for an EQ or going for like Decapitator or something, if I want to change the tone, I just go straight for an amp sim.
Yeah.
And I like, and I'll like have it emulate going through the cab or just the amp or like a couple pedals or something like that. So yeah. like I'll like rechange the tone of it, like reamp the tone digitally. Instead of just EQing it.
Yeah. Honestly, that's usually going to be better. Because a lot of times it's kind of like using saturation for EQ or just using straight up EQ. The EQ is only going to shift the frequency. It's not going to really change the character at all. It's really just going to make it sound brighter, thicker, something. Like you can put some character behind EQ, but those are usually like emulated EQs or something that do a little something harmonically. But if you wanted to change the character or the vibe of the tone of the actual guitar, then yeah, run it through a sim.
Is that called reamping? It's just digital reamping?
The reamping is more about
you go out into an amp and then re-record it, but like
basically, yeah. But I mean, the fundamental idea behind it is just throw it on a DI and you're done.
Yeah, so we'll just say we'll just call it for the sake of
You're reamping in the box.
Yeah, just like digital reamping.
Yeah.
And I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing. Like, if at any point I want to change the tone of this electric guitar or even acoustic guitar, like, I'll just... I know that, like, for example, there's one archetype in there that I loved, bro. Which one was it? It was... Ooh, the Tim Henson archetype has this really cool acoustic guitar filter one.
The Gojira was actually pretty good from the demos I heard.
Yeah, there's a bunch of these, like, oh my gosh, these are a
bossy. Ooh, the Nolly is the one I want to try.
The Nolly, dude, they got, like, people in here, and this is just one of the companies, like, Bias Effects makes them as well, makes some good ones. Again, Helix is Line 6 used to be a joke, but then they came out with Helix, and now it's like, oh, people are taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Helix is good. There's just a lot of amp synths out there. And I think this is just like from a mixing perspective. And I'm not talking about using it for stage. I'm not talking about anything else. But like doing that digital reamping, I think is really underrated. Yeah. And I've been doing that a lot recently when needed. I've also like decided not to use the reamp at all.
You know, it's kind of funny when you think about like progression and mixing, mastering and all that kind of stuff. Have you noticed that the tool set that you reach for becomes more of a harmonic tool set versus an actual utility tool set? It's like, oh, it needs to be EQ'd better. It's like, I don't really think the EQ is the issue. You know, you actually start finding what the practical issue is versus like the overall, I guess, blanketed way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, because like running your guitars through like an amp sim is going to change a lot about it. But if you think about it from the point of view from mixing engineer and not as a performer, it actually has much more utility than just being that distortion or that brand of amplification. You know, everybody wants that Marshall tone. Cool. But what is the Marshall tone? Like, is it that thick, low mid? Okay, great. Well, you could still have a Marshall and record it and have a lack of low mids. You know, it'd still be the Marshall tone, just not very well captured. So sometimes you're reaching for more harmonic tools than you are for an EQ to actually correct or enhance certain ranges. So, you know, amp sims as a form of like, you know, instead of reaching for an EQ or a compressor to fix guitar tones, I don't really see the issue.
I demoed the Tim Henson one.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that I don't know Tim Henson that well, but like I literally just like the aesthetics of it. This Neural DSP does a great job with like aesthetics as well, which shouldn't affect how much I like something, but it definitely does. Nolly has a good one too. Oh, he's got a bunch, dude.
Yeah, Nolly from Polyphery, insane tones all day, great sounding drums and everything in the entire group. Like they, what is it? Good drums or better drums or.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I forget what it is, but they've got that plugin company that they do together. Play Better Drums.
No,
I think it's Good Drums.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, get good drums. That's what it is. Yeah, they do very simplistic plugin formats. They have great kits and everything. They do one shots to loops and stuff like that. But they actually have like a really, really good brand behind tone and sound.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like one thing that I do all the time with like live drums is I layer samples, which is tedious if you want to be extremely accurate with like the performer, right? You have to do like tap to transient, then paste, tap to transient, then paste. You know, it's a little bit annoying, but the benefit that the good, Get Good Drums have is that you can use their samples. So if there's like a specific tone that you like and you're the type to use samples, like you can always layer their samples in.
And because I use, Trigger oftentimes from Slate, this is a good place to get samples for drum samples if I don't have Splice.
You know, have you tried Drumagog? That's probably a plugin that I see get like
Drumagog.
Drumagog 5, I think, is the latest release.
Never heard of this. A drum replacer? That's crazy looking.
Yeah, but it has left, right hand articulation. You actually have dynamic articulation. You have filtering. You have blending. You have overhead room blending and all that kind of stuff. Just like how Trigger does. But Trigger doesn't have that left, right articulation. You can also do multi-sample dynamics, meaning that a different sample is triggered by a different ratio. But you can also have it randomized. Even if it's in the same velocity, you can have it be different samples. That way it's not triggering the same sample when it's hit at the same way.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it adds a little more realism, but it requires you to have like your samples pre-mapped out, or you can use their presets. I have one patch that I pre-mapped out for myself that works really well on snares that, you know, whenever I blend it in, it doesn't tend to sound bad. Like it doesn't sound like obvious samples under it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's it for the plugins that we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
Really great thoughts, and we had some cool, interesting things. A lot more plugins that you should try out there. I recommend trying out everything that we talked about, trying out some other plugins, just in general. Just have fun with it, man. And I'm still obsessing over how, like, aesthetically pleasant this Tim's Henson set is. The Tim Henson archetype from Neural DSP is just so aesthetically pleasing. Like, look at these pedals, man. Look at the cabs. Dude, it's so pleasing. Anyway, on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.